हरे राम सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह देयं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविर्विश्वावहै शांति 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 ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, so now on the Adhikarana, that the confidential servants of the Lord, that they established that any person, any man can attain perfection through the performance of his prescribed duties. Right? So others may think it's so many different things, because there's the idea that you have material life and spiritual life, it'll be something completely different. What's misunderstood is that there is only spiritual life, and the improper, the self-centered consciousness of the living entity, he's taken that spiritual lifestyle and is using it for his own purpose. So that he's using it for his own purpose and he's not seeing its connection with the Supreme Lord, then that's called illusion. Does that make sense? So the process is simply to again see things in relationship to the Lord. That's all. That's all that's required. So it's not that it's a separate process. Does that make sense? The difficulty is, of course, in the perversion, then people don't even necessarily perform their prescribed duties or know what they are. That's another thing. That's a perversion of the perversion. Right? But the main principle is that means everybody has prescribed duties. Like Mother Jashoda, she has duties that she does. Right? The gopis have duties, the cowherd boys have duties. Right? They perform those duties, everything goes nicely. And what's special, they do it for Krishna. But here, they don't do it for Krishna. That's the problem. Right? That's the difficulty. So then one is simply trying to show how, just by the position you're in and performing those duties, if you do it where the result of that is for Krishna, then you'll perfect your life. It's that simple. Right? That's the fun part about it. Any point being made, it's always so simple. You know, we're the ones that make the complication, right? You know, it can't be that simple, that easy, right? There's got to be something, you know, you have to do some very difficult thing and that will make it happen. Because we think that karma is the cause. So simply just, I don't change what I'm doing, I just change my consciousness and everything works. That's not that. No, I have to change what I'm doing. Then it's spiritual. No, spiritual simply means you're not looking at it that this is mine. Spiritual is that I see it is Krishna's. That's actually the situation. And Krishna's involved. You know, but due to illusion, I don't see that. So it's simply changing the consciousness. Now, to affect the consciousness change, we might change elements externally. Right? Does that make sense? But the point is even those external changes are within duty. Like one becomes a brahmachari. So one's not involved in all the household items and this and that. But it's part of the plan. That is the occupation of the brahmachari. So by being a good brahmachari, he can perfect his life. Right? And then being a good brahmachari, then he gets married. He is a good grihasta. Does that make sense? So then he performs those duties. So whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Whatever stage in life, it's not that one is better, one's not. No, it's whatever it is. Right? Does that make sense? So page 70, lesson 35. Only under transcendental modes can the ordinary fruit of workers, salvationists, and mystics also attain to Godhead, right? Because this is the broad categories that everybody fits into, right? Everybody fits into one of these three, fruit of workers, salvationists, or mystics. Or it can be any combination of them, but these are the three items you have, right? You know, in other words, you have vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. If you want to mix them up on the cone, however you want, whichever order, that you can do. But these are the three. That's it, you know. 927, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Right? Because Krishna is everything, so any duty could be connected to the Lord. Right? But the difficulty is if one is in full consciousness, then everything's connected. Right? So I think Prabhupada makes a statement that for the pure devotee, even passing urine is service. Right? Because they see everything connected to the Lord. So, but until we do that, then Krishna gives places to focus. Right? So in the Chatur Shloki, he's saying, you focus on your values, because that's where you put your interests. Right? You don't put your interests somewhere else. You do so many things, but all of what you're doing is connected to those major values. Connect the value, you connect everything else. Right? And result, if the result's for Krishna, then you don't have to worry that the activity or your understanding of the whole thing is necessarily completely right. You know what I'm saying? It means you may understand I'm serving a Krishna, but when you're performing the activity, you're fully absorbed in the activity, not thinking of Krishna at all. But if the result's given to Krishna, because that's the end of the whole thing, then everything before that is connected. You know what I'm saying? So Krishna gives these key points that you start with these. And by starting with these, then everything will work very nicely. Right? And naturally, because these are the major places, obvious places, right? Then, or easily accessible, even if they're not obvious. Maybe one's own values aren't obvious, but you could sit down with yourself and work them out. Right? You wouldn't need someone else. Right? You could do that. So self-realization, you can do this on your own. Right? So then here is another group, right? You're going to do something, right? And that what you're doing is according to your values. You're going to eat something, right? Also has the element of values. You're going to offer a giveaway according to your values, right? Whatever austerities you perform for your values. So those things there, doing, eating, giving away, and austerities, those four things, if you focus on those, right, within your values, then it starts to get there. Thus, it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. Right? So mold doesn't mean change. Mold means bring it in line with, you know, because you're molding something, it's already there. It's just making it right. It's not that molding means taking the clay, throwing it away. No, molding means working with that clay you have. Right? Right, you mold the clay you have, not the clay someone else has. Right, you know. Otherwise, that's backseat clay molding. Yeah. Right, you know. So, no one likes the backseat clay molders. Right.
Everybody knows that.
Everyone has to work for maintenance of his body and soul together. And Krishna recommends herein that one do work for him. So, whatever you do here, he's meaning whatever it is that you're doing to keep the body and soul together. Right. So your occupation. Or any other activities that you're would be considered that, you know, yeah, means you're, what, this is your prescribed duties, right? Everyone has to eat something to live. Therefore, he should accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna, right? So you have to eat, so whatever you eat, connect that to Krishna. Now, you don't have to change that, okay, now I'm spiritual, now I don't eat, you know, like that, or... Does that make sense? Or I eat only, you know, standing upside down or something, you know. You know, things like that. No. And then any civilized man has to perform some religious ritualistic ceremonies. Therefore, Krishna recommends, do it for me. And this is called archana. Right? So whatever you offer or give it away. Right? So you're going to give something away. So you have results. You give it to the deity, to the Lord. You're going to offer something. Offer it to the deities. Right? So this way, then it all becomes nicely connected. Right? So some ritual is going to be there. Some activity that they're going to do is going to be there. You know, like that. You know, you have to have the picture standing with all the, you know, kids and everything of the 6-foot-long check, so everyone can actually tell what you gave and what your name is, right? You know, so it's a ritual, right? So they all have to do these rituals. So the point is, do all that in connection to the Lord, right? You stand in front of the deities with a monster check, right? Like that. Like that, you know. So monster check must be there, right? You know, that's the... Krishna says, give it to me, and this means that all surplus money accumulated should be utilized in furthering the Krishna consciousness movement. So in some way you're furthering the movement, right? Mm-hmm. So whatever is there in daily running of things, that's there. But whatever is surplus, right, means your daily running is there, something is there for the emergency, whatever surplus, what you would call profit, right? Because maintenance is not profit. Emergency fund is not profit. But whatever it is would be there to use that to somehow or another further Krishna consciousness. Right? You further your own, further the mission, you know, like that, further benefit others. But in some way it's benefiting. Right? Nowadays people are very much inclined to the meditational process, which is not practical in this age. But if anyone practices meditation on Krishna 24 hours a day, by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra around his deeds, he is surely the greatest meditator and greatest yogi, as substantiated by the 6th chapter of Gita. So then, in other words, whatever you're going to do, if it's connected to meditating on the Lord, especially chanting, that's the highest austerity. Because technically austerity means performance of your duties. And of all duties of a Brahmin, chanting japa is considered the highest. That's the greatest austerity is to chant japa, right? You know, or to study scripture. These are considered the greatest austerities, right? You know, we'll think, you know, standing on your toes and this and that. But that's not actually that austere. It's difficult, but it's not so austere, right? The most austere is to chant and study, right? This is the real. Because then you're getting the maximum benefit, right? One may say, no, but the other one is more difficult. That would be more austere. Let us say I take 1 rupee and invest it in something, right? Then I get back, you know, 2 rupees, right? Like that. Or I invest, you know, 100,000 rupees, right? And I get back, you know, 1,000,000 rupees. So which of those two will I call an investment? Right? You know what I'm saying? What gives the most benefit? But as far as work, it was the same thing. I could have invested this much or I could have invested this much. So it's not that the work is anymore, but the return is great, therefore it's better. You know what I'm saying? So it's not difficult physically or mentally or to chant japa or to read, but the benefit is so much greater that we call that's real austerity. And the other things, you know, nice. It's, you know, some physical things, you know, you learn, do some isometrics, you become nice and strong, you know, like that. Yes?
But investing money is not austerity. So how come in this case we're dealing with the return of the investment? Does that make sense?
Because it's a return that you're dealing with, and all these things, there's activities. Mm-hmm. What you do, the results given to Krishna. What you're going to eat, you give to Krishna. What you're going to offer and give away, you give to Krishna. So whatever austerity is, the result is for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So that's direct. It means you offer it to Krishna, it's direct devotional service. You do things for the deity, it's direct. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, you're chanting and reading and cultivation of Krishna, that's direct.
Yeah, but often we think of austerity as something that's not beneficial to ourselves.
That's the way we look at it, just like renunciation means not dealing with the thing, rather than renunciation means giving up the results of dealing with the thing. It's the same problem. You know what I'm saying? Because it's about us and not about someone else. But what we're saying here is one gets the best benefit buy these austerities, right? They're just like welfare. You do some benefit. You feed the person. That's nice, but he'll get hungry again. But you give him prasad, and then he's eternally benefited. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, the highest welfare, right, is in connection with the Lord. The highest austerity is in connection with the Lord. The highest, you know, how you say, concept of eating is with the Lord, and working is with the, connected to the Lord. Right? So that's what we're trying to do, is connect all these things. Right? Very, very nice. And by doing that, that takes up most of your day. You know, you're doing your work. Then you come, you eat before you go, you eat in the day, or when you have a break from work, you eat in the evening, like that. Then you're going to think about giving things away, you'll work that out on the weekends, you know, whatever austerities you do, you're going to be in between. So basically, other than sleeping, it hasn't, you know, it's pretty much caught everything. Does that make sense? Yes.
It appears that for some of us, you know, hearing and chanting is more of austerity than for other devotees. Like for them it's natural to chant, and for some it's like real struggle.
So then it's still, then it matches both the spiritual definition and our concept of that austerity should be tough, you know, should be a problem, right? So then you get both benefits, you know. You have that conviction, yes, I'm doing something very austere because it's hard to do this, you know, like that. Plus you get all the benefits. But if you continue it with time, it'll get less and less difficult. But then one might worry, but if it gets less difficult, I won't have the satisfaction of feeling that it's austere. But as we become more purified, so it actually becomes less difficult, then our definition of austerity also changes. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
So we shouldn't worry that it would become easier to chant.
Yeah, we shouldn't be in anxiety, it'll get easier to chant, and therefore we're not austere enough, you know, so it's not, yeah. Okay, is this,
yeah. Okay. Like, if you do some exercise, then the results are very quick.
It's like you do some exercises, results are very quick. It means either that day or the next morning your muscles were hurt. Yes, so it is very quick.
Shreyas or Prayas or something like that.
Prayas is the first. Just thinking of it as like pray, you know. Pray is immediate, you get it. Yeah. Shreyas means after some time.
So then the results are very, immediate almost. But then if one chants japa and there's not much taste, then we can understand that later the results are very nice, you know.
Yeah, later. You're getting results now, you just don't perceive it.
Yeah.
You know, because you have to also be qualified to be able to take part. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like that. Mm. Yes?
Maharaj, you say that our focus should be in our values. Would it be fair to say that these values are kind of like the form of the way that we interact with the Lord? And then the idea is to actually really understand and pick up the right mood, but also actually focus on Krishna's values, and then eventually.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Means values, that what we're saying here in values means what you value in the thing, not the thing itself.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like say here is that, okay, whatever you give, offer, give away. Now they have a value. Yes, I'm a pious man, I'm a religious man, so I give in charity, you know. But his value is his religiousness. It's not the charity. The charity is the expression of it. You know, or his value, you know, is that, you know, we live a very, you know, proper lifestyle. So we mow our lawn and keep everything clipped, and, you know, the flowers are there, and, you know, it's all happening nice, so when people go by, then, you know, it looks good. It's a value. So it's not that the lawn is important, or that it's the way, medium of expression of that. So the value is why you do the thing in the first place. So we're going to say whatever you do, it'll have a value. You have a value there, your economics, therefore you're doing business or you're getting a job. It means some people, they value money, But it's more just getting by. So they get a job and they don't necessarily worry about moving up in it. Other people, no, they have to have the facility. So they're going to work very hard and move up and get more money. You know what I'm saying? So your value is going to affect these. All I was saying there is that this is a list and that other is a list. But the thing is, the point is that these two lists don't conflict. Right? That was the idea. It was coming at two different points. You know, because the generic, you're looking at what's the subtle point. But the act, what's being made here is that that value has forms. So those forms then connect those to Krishna. So naturally, those forms, like you're saying, is that those forms in the beginning are going to be the forms that you prefer. Because the value is always, you know, proper. But the element is then, the form that you're using is what you prefer. But as time goes, if there's a form that Krishna prefers, then naturally, as we become purified, then that will be the next step. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, 719. After many, many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Okay. The living entity, while executing devotional service or transcendental rituals, after many, many births, may actually become situated in transcendental pure knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of spiritual realization. In the beginning of spiritual realization, while one is trying to give up one's attachment to materialism, there is some leaning towards impersonalism. But when one is further advanced, he can understand that there are activities in the spiritual life and that these activities constitute devotional service. Realizing this, he becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrenders to him. Right? At such a time, one can understand that Lord Sri Krishna's mercy is everything, that he is the cause of all causes, and that this material manifestation is not independent from him. So here's, in the beginning, so Prabhupada's making the point is that executing devotional service, then one comes to the situation that Krishna is the ultimate goal, right? So that's the overall point. Now, in here is then, in the beginning, when one's trying to give up attachments, one is leaning towards impersonalism, right? But the from two elements. One is that leaning towards the impersonalism of material life. So it's a materialistic impersonalism, right? The other is that we may be leaning towards using elements of Brahman and Paramatma understanding to free ourselves from the material attachments, right? Does that make sense? So one is whether we're conscious or not. If we're not conscious, then you lean towards impersonalism because you, as we explained, you deal with the element. You don't deal with Krishna, who is actually the one controlling the element and who that element is meant for, right? You have food, so it's just you and the food, not you, the food, and Krishna. So therefore, I can offer this food to Krishna. So if I'm only dealing with it, I'm dealing with Brahman, but I'm not understanding its connection to Krishna. So it's impersonal, right? And then the devotee takes up Krishna consciousness. He understands he has an attachment there. So now he's dealing on that same platform. Now it's connecting to Krishna, but it's more the element, no, but Krishna is the taste, Krishna is this and that. So all the different things we're attached to. Then we see it in relation to Krishna, but as his qualities. So it's Brahman and Paramatma. You understand? That's the fun part, is that for us, is just dealing on the platform of qualities, that's the impersonal aspect, right? Well, the impersonalists, they can't handle qualities, so they get rid of the qualities, and then that's dealing with, you know, and they consider that higher. For us, then dealing on that level, that's before you become Krishna conscious. So the level that they think is so great, we'll call that before you're Krishna conscious. Everybody's an impersonalist. Right? You know? Like that. But now you're dealing with Saguna Brahman. Right? Not Nirguna. So that Saguna then you're leaning towards that. But when he's further advanced, he can understand that there are activities in the spiritual life, and these constitute devotional service. So simply the activities of spiritual life, that's all it takes. So one focuses on that, rather than, because the attachments then are less, so they're not a distraction. So the focus is on all the nice, positive things in devotional service, because the other things are already connected. But they're not the major. In other words, never forgetting Krishna isn't as prominent as always remembering. So in the beginning, the prominence is never forget. But as one goes, then it starts to become always remember. Right? Realizing this, it becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrenders to Him. Right? So then it's all about Krishna, not all about me getting rid of my attachments. You know, getting rid of my distractions. Right? But one doesn't jump there because it has to be real. We're talking real here. We're not talking, okay, this is the highest, so therefore I'll do it. If you could do that, great. But you should know that is the goal. Be endeavoring for that. But how much that's not working, then you use the other side, right? Of taking the attachments and connecting to the Lord. You know, through that mechanical process. You know, last time we were discussing, it seems artificial. It's only artificial for the illusion consciousness. No, it's the natural position for the living entity. It's just called vaidhi. It's not spontaneous. Right? At such a time, he can understand that Lord Sri Krishna's mercy is everything. He is the cause of all causes, and that this material manifestation is not independent from him. So therefore, whatever you're dealing with, it's all connected to him as a person. Right? Through his energies and all that. But it's the person that's important. Right? Just as we've been practicing, is I have the knowledge, I do the work, but the results for Krishna. So I have the activities, I know the philosophy and that, but ultimately it's Krishna is a person. Right? Does that make sense? So it's him as a person, my relationship with him as a person. That's important. That's the actual devotional element. I'm engaging my knowledge and skills. But it's not the knowledge and skills that are devotional. It's doing that to please Krishna. Does that make sense? He realizes the material world to be a perverted reflection of spiritual variegatedness, and he realizes that in everything there is a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So this whole material, that's what we were discussing, the whole thing, is that that's why it says it specifically says here, confidential servants of Godhead explain that any man can attain to transcendental loving service of Godhead by his own occupation. Those who are not confidential servants don't explain it that way. You know, for them it's, you know, you're grihastha, enjoy life, and then when it's spiritual life, then, you know, austerity, you give everything up, and this, and so for them it's at a particular point in time. It's not now. You understand? So they're living in they're dealing with a mode of passion or mode of ignorance. They're not dealing with the present. The present is you can surrender now whatever you're dealing with, because they see this is a reflection of the spiritual world. Right? So therefore, whatever I'm doing here, it's a reflection of there. The problem is I think I'm the controller and enjoyer. That's the problem. But no, it's Krishna. It's his potencies. It's everything that makes it work. So he's the one that so kindly is arranging all this and all the facility and all that. Not that I worked hard, I got all this because my attachments, but I got to connect my attachments to Krishna. No, it's by Krishna's grace. So whatever is there, even what would be considered material, that's all by Krishna's grace. Right? Because if we see Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he's understood that Krishna has left the planet, then he makes the statement that he was our well-wisher. You know, whatever we have, our position in society, our kingdom, our wealth, our wife, our family, you know, like that, whatever, you know, whatever happiness may be there, that's all by Krishna's grace. You understand? So, in other words, you're dealing with the same phenomena, but now on the Bhagavan platform. Instead of, yes, Krishna is what my attachment is. You know, it's like that. The essence of that, my value in it, is actually Krishna. And I'm mistaking this form to be what is giving me that happiness. But it's not. It's Krishna's giving me that happiness. So I'm seeing it from the philosophical, but the focus is on the form. But here the focus is not on the form, the focus is on the person. You deal with the form. So that's why only the confidential service can explain it. Because if one's not the confidential servant, then you have attachment, the karma, he'll work with it. You don't have attachment, you won't work with it. So the idea is I work with it, but don't have attachment, that only the confidential servants will say. No one else is going to say that. Yes?
And at the time, there is the need for the living entity to desire to have a relation with Krishna.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes. That's why we're doing all these things at once. We know what the ultimate goal is, and we're cultivating that aspect, but we're practical in dealing with where we're at right at present. Right? The sahajya means he just deals with where he would like to be in the future. Right? Because that's the highest, so he only deals with that. Right? And the other is that you have your attachments and everything like that. So attachments are bad, so they're given up. But that's impersonal. Right? The Lord's not involved in it. I give this up because it's bad. It's wrong. Why is it wrong? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Whenever we were dealing with things, he's so attached. So what's wrong with that? No, well, attachment's not good. Why not? You become entangled in the material world. We haven't mentioned Krishna yet. You know what I'm saying? And we've already given three levels. That's more than most will go to. You know what I'm saying? So the point is here it's that Krishna's arranging it, Krishna's arranging that. He may be doing it through Paramatma, through Brahman, but they're non-different than him, so that means he's doing it. Yes?
So smarta brahmanas, they would tend to think that they're already at the final destination just by dealing with the form?
No, what he's saying here means, yeah, but on the platform of karma. But what the example is given there is the sahajyas.
Yeah.
The sahajya is because they'll be in other words, if you have a razor's edge and one side's karma and jnana, so that means one side's sahajyas and one side's impersonalists or mayavadis.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, just practical app. It means you have the generic thing of impersonalism, right? But that aspects of that are useful, but if you use them properly, then you're in the middle. Right? Just like understanding the Supreme Person, you know, and his name, form, qualities, and pastimes, that has value. So what's used properly is in the middle, right? What's not used properly, then, is knowing the name, form, qualities, but not connecting it with the actual path of the acharyas. That's the sahajya. Yeah. And also the elements of the impersonal, where we're dealing with Brahman, and this way break our attachments to the material world, not used properly in that, but used with the material, you know, mix, you know, of our own process, that's called mayavad. Yeah, because mayavads are bogus. And, you know, this, you know what I'm saying? And sahajyas are bogus. So activity and detachment aren't bogus if they're connected to the Lord. But not connected to the Lord, then you end up with these two. Yes?
How long if you have attachments and Krishna's presence takes that attachment away, but you feel those attachments may be Krishna-conscious attachments that to help you in Krishna-conscious, but they've been taken away. How should you see that?
It means it's just like a stage. It's like you have a process. You're trying to make something with a potato, right? So you go to the market. Right? So then you have money and you have bags and all that. Now, buying the potato and getting back and taking the potatoes out of the bag, now you don't have the money and the interaction with the bag, right? And then you wash the potatoes, not using water and things like that. But then that's also removed, right? Then we have, you know, the peeler, and then we peel them, and then that's also gone, and, you know. And now we have, you know, the knife, and then we cut it up, and now the knife and all that's gone. And now we have the pot of water, and then that's gone. And then all we're left with is a plate with potatoes on them that we're putting in front of Krishna. You understand? So it's just natural. We're not saying nothing's useful, but it has its point. Now, up to us, because we're attached, it'll always remain like that. You know what I'm saying? like that. You know, it's just like, you know, the kids, they're small, they're cute, they're nice, you know, but then they grow up, you know, like that, you know. Not as cute with a mustache, you know, like that. You know, like that. So it happens. So it's just the way it works. Like that. So it's just, it'll happen. But, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, that's never taken away. Like that. You know what I'm saying? Remembering Krishna. So in other words, the purpose is never removed, but the thing itself might be. You know what I'm saying? Because you can get that same purpose with other forms. Like that, you know? Just we particularly liked those forms. You know, so, you know. Thus he thinks of everything in relation to Vasudeva or Sri Krishna. Such a universal vision of Vasudeva precipitates one's full surrender to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna as the highest goal. Such surrendered great souls are very rare. So now he sees everything in connection to Krishna, so he just surrenders. Right? It's in connection with the Lord. He's going to the Lord, he's doing things in connection to the Lord, but he's still not fully certain. But here now he sees everything is there. Krishna's providing everything. He just surrenders. Right? Does that make sense? So he's not holding on, right? Draupadi, she's holding on. She thinks, I will take care of this. Right? And then at some point, then it's just, you know what to do. It's not going to work. Like that. Does that make sense? Yes.
It's quite common that the devotees mistake this indirect activities as direct devotional service.
Yes, yes.
And sometimes they even say so specific things like that, for example, management is part of Archon.
Management is part of Archon?
Yes.
Which part?
That they don't say.
No, that they don't know. They don't say because they don't know. Because Abhigamana is getting yourself up out of bed and getting yourself ready to go to the temple. So you could call that management. You didn't manage that. Then then Upadana means you manage the paraphernalia.
Yeah.
Right? Then yoga, you manage to get your consciousness up to the spiritual platform through a ritualistic process to make sure that, you know, the mind doesn't slip away somewhere. Right? Then Ija is you offer the 16 items to the Lord. Swadhyaya, it means it's study. So it means it's in connection with the deity. So then that has your aspects. That means serving guests, serving Vaishnavas, so it has to be in connection with the Lord. Chanting and japa, studying the scripture, worshipping the Dham, worshipping Tulsi. And I think you do have the element that you do have your particular service to the deity during the day. So if you see it connected to the deity, then it is. Right? But they have to be able to connect it. Because that part of it means you're connecting your conditioning, you know, your occupation to the Lord. You see it that way, then it does go like that. Means you're managing the temple, yes, it is, but just regular management. Management in itself is not devotional service. Right? Yeah, no, the point is if you can connect it to the Lord, then it does become part of the process. But they should have enough knowledge to understand where it fits in. Because along with that also is japa, serving Vaishnavas and all that. So since all those seven comprise swadhyaya, you can't manage and offend devotees and then consider, no, but management is higher. No, they're all seven different aspects of swadhyaya. You know what I'm saying? You can't neglect guests. You can't not worship Tulsi or not understand, you know, that this is the Dham, you know, that it has some connection to Krishna. So one has to respect what one's dealing with. Everything's not just a tool for one's management. You know? Then it becomes part of the process. But you have to understand that process. You know, it's not that one of the 16 items is, you know, takes advantage and so therefore it kicks out the other one. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't work like that, you know. Just because he has a bath doesn't mean he doesn't get food, because bath is more important. You know, if you're not clean, how can you eat? So therefore, you know, the whole thing's about the bath. And, you know, so, you know what I'm saying? There's a balance there. So we will work within this balance according to our own conditioning. So naturally, in the beginning, it will be more overbalanced on that impersonal side, right? But as time goes, we see more and more is connected to Krishna. Then it works more nicely. Then we'll see our management is more effective. Like let's say you take someone like Jayananda. You don't think of him as a manager, right? He was the temple president, right? He was the temple president of at the time, one of the larger temples. And at the same time, of the largest festival that anybody would be doing. So he organized that whole thing. But, I mean, I remember, I think it was 73, because you have all the hundreds and hundreds of devotees coming from all over, and it's still the same temple, so you don't have any more facility. So there's one shower for, I don't know, 150 or 100 brahmacharis to take bath. He was standing there at the shower as each brahmachari went and told him, you know, only take this much time. But it wasn't the management that, okay, you only got this much time, you know, like that. No, he said it so nicely that you just felt obliged. You know, if you said you got 30 seconds, you'd try to take 20 seconds. But he did say 30 seconds. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the thing. So you just think of him as a nice person. Right? So that means that is perfectly balanced within the deity worship. Now it becomes part of the whole Archan process. Otherwise, you'd have to look at more of it as occupation. You'd see it more in connection with the Varanashram. You know? Does that make sense? Though, that is what it says, you do your occupation in connection to the deity. It means that. But there's a difference in whether it has the flavor of the one or the flavor of the other. Right? Does that make sense? So the flavor is the main thing. But it's correct. It is part of it. But the point is not as they're defining it. That it stands separately on its own. No, it has to be part. Because Kapila Muni says, if you don't see all living entities connected to the deity, your deity worship isn't actually that good. You know, it's there, but it's not. It's very neophyte. Right? But the Madhyam platform is you see all living entities, so you're nice to everybody because they're all connected to the deity. Does that make sense?
Another point. So can we say, like, more or less, the Sajjas, they are stressing these indirect activities as devotional service, therefore they are Sajjas?
Could be, but that the means you can. You would take that as an underlying. It would be a secondary. The primary is that they think just by discussing about the highest platform, they're on the highest platform.
That's
primary.
That
would be the more primary element that makes them sahajiyas. Because most of the time, you know, a rightly situated sahajiya, you know, is basically only involved in activities of sadhana. You know what I'm saying? All they do is chant and read and do all these different kinds of things like that. You know, it means you have so many affected, you have grihasthas and everything else, but a real proper sahajiya would be a renunciate. You know what I'm saying? So they're situated in that, but the problem is they think because they know about the internal pastimes of the Lord, automatically they're on that platform. That's what makes it. That's why we call it sahaj, easy. You know, it's just easy, just you said it, and therefore you're there. So that's easy. You know what I'm saying? So like that. It's not taken very seriously. Does that make sense? Okay, and so such surrendered souls, great souls, are very rare. Right? So this is what we're trying to get to. So if we know that's what it is, then we'll continue and go through the process and get there. We don't understand that. It's like where I'm at now is great and fine and nobody should say anything. Then you're looking at the after many, many births and deaths part of the equation. And if you understand that this is the goal and everything, and you really, you know, are willing to work towards that, you know, whatever that takes in the situation you're at, then you're looking at such a great soul as very rare. You understand? So it's as simply as a matter of how seriously you take it. So every soul has the same potential, so it's just a matter of whether you use it or not. That's all. 647. And of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. So now here we have Krishna's opinion. That means that is final. Right? There's so many other things. Notice here so nicely how all these verses just go along together. You know? Probably your... This is the meaning of the thematic. Is that you think, and then wherever it is, and then like that. The culmination of all kinds of yoga practice lies in bhakti yoga. So we've got like that. So we've, Prabhupada's here mentioned executing devotional service. So all yoga practices then means in devotional service. All other yogas are but means to come to the point of bhakti in bhakti yoga. Right? So in bhakti, so it says here, all of these are but means to come to that point of bhakti in bhakti yoga. So that means that they're used in bhakti yoga. So that's what buddhi yoga is. Karma, jnana, and jnana are used, are means to come to the point of bhakti within bhakti yoga. It's not that, okay, you do all those and then there's bhakti. It means there is that, but the point is karma, jnana, and jnana can't give you bhakti. So it can't mean that I perform karma yoga and jnana, that's what then brought me to the point. No. It means that those elements, right, in their natural form, means activities are for Krishna, knowledge is for Krishna, meditation is for Krishna, then those are used within the devotional process. But their means, the karma, so it's not the karma that's bhakti. It's engaging it for Krishna that's bhakti. So when all you're absorbed in is how to be always engaged, connected to Krishna, that's the perfection. Right? So you don't call that the karma or jnana or jnana. No, it's just devotional service. Does that make sense? Yoga actually means bhakti yoga. All other yogas are progressions towards the destination of bhakti yoga. Right? Does that make sense? So we can say is those who have done all these other things, because you've done it all, then you find that there's nothing there, then one starts to doubt the process. So at that point, one is able to question. And then one may, by the good fortune of the Lord, come in contact with the devotees and then understands this devotional service is the real yoga. There's that aspect. But from here, these fine points that we're making, then that's within the devotional process. So we may be more absorbed in karma yoga or jnana yoga or jnana like that in connection with our service. But then we start to see it's the devotion that's the main thing, not our engagement of the karma, because we're engaged in the karma. Why is karma yoga there? We call it karma yoga because we have karma that we want to deal with. Right? It means activities we're attached to. So then we engage in karma yoga. Does that make sense? We have knowledge that we were into, so we call it jnana yoga. But when it's just you're serving Krishna, and now you need to do an activity, now you need to use knowledge, now you need to, you know, absorb yourself and learn, that's just called devotional service. Does that make sense? It's using the technique of this, but that's the point, is from the previous one, is everything is a reflection of the spiritual world. So that someone does activities, that's from the spiritual world. If someone has knowledge, that's from the spiritual world. They absorb themselves in meditation, that's from the spiritual world. Difference is, there it's all connected to Krishna, here it's not. All right? So there isn't something else, because one's body, mind, and words. So that's all you got. Right? You know, there's your consciousness. So when so body, mind, and words are engaged. Consciousness is spiritual. The body, mind, and words is spiritual. Consciousness is material. Body, mind, and words is material. Right? So it's not the act. It's not the what the body, mind, and words are doing. It's whether they're connected to Krishna or not. Does that make sense? So when it's connected to Krishna, it's just called bhakti yoga. When it's not connected to Krishna, Then we'll call it karma, jnana, and dhyan. When we've taken those positions that we're attached to and conditioned to, connect them to the Lord, then we call it karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga. But when it comes to the stage of pure devotional service, we don't call it karma yoga anymore. We call it devotional service. Does that make sense? But also in the generic, you know, sense, something that's in pursuit of pure devotional service is also counted as devotional service. You know what I'm saying? Just like a cook washing pots and preparing the vegetables is called cooking, right? But if you're not a cook and you're washing pots and preparing vegetables, then you don't call it cooking. You're a pot washer or you're a kitchen help. Does that make sense? Wait, not that. What is it called? You say plongeur or something? Plongeur. Yeah.
So bhakti manifests by our desire and Krishna's mercy?
Our desire and Krishna's mercy. Yes. But I mean, it will manifest because of Krishna's mercy.
Yeah.
But that mercy is there, but unless we desire it, how will it be given?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And Bhuti Yoga just makes for a nice situation.
No, Bhuti Yoga means that you are dynamically engaging body, mind, and words in the Lord's service. You know, in other words, you've used your intelligence to understand that this is what is proper.
Yeah.
But the focus is on you're doing it because the intelligence says so. But as you get more purified and more advanced, and one gets a taste in devotional service, then it's because you want to do it, not because the intelligence says, right? So does that make sense? So in other words, when the mind has been caught, and the one's naturally doing it, then you would say, then it's devotional service.
So bhakti is attachment to Krishna.
Yeah, it's attachment to Krishna. That's why you see he brings it up in that last purport, bringing it up through the whole process, that he's engaged in the activity, but he's leaning. While one is trying to give up one's attachment to materialism, there's some leaning towards impersonalism. But when one is further advanced, you can understand there are activities in spiritual life, and these activities constitute devotional service. So we have a parallel definition going here. You could take it on the big picture, you know, of the slow path, meaning the impersonalist will be going, and then eventually he'll come to understand that there's the personal aspect. So then he'll take up the devotional process. Right? But that's very slow. You could be spending thousands or millions of lifetimes to do that. But here, then you have the parallel where it's talking about the quick path, which means in this lifetime, how to deal with that. And so in the beginning, we're dealing with the things because we're impersonal with them. And so we also don't, you know, try to disconnect the personal from it. Because I'm attached, I'm a person, I'm attached, so I try to remove my attachment. So I'm kind of dealing on the impersonal level. But it's connected to Krishna, the results are for Krishna, and so therefore it works out. Does that make sense? As one becomes more advanced, then one becomes situated, then one gets a taste, and then that is not, then you just do because it's connected to the Lord. Right? So that element is here, is that you always have those different things dealing. You know what I'm saying? So you have what's there in the spiritual world, you have what's in the material world, then you have the process to get between the two. Right? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Right. So it can be understood on all those three. And then we see is that within those you have definitions. You know, have karmis, jnanis, and that. You have the human who follows the varnashram, you have the subhuman who's not. You know, so the pious and the impious. You have the advanced sadhaka or the new sadhaka, or you have the person following the Vedic path and therefore slowly gets up to that level. Like that, and comes to that path of surrendering. Right? You know, but within this surrender, then he's, you know, fully surrendered. And then you have the element within the spiritual world. And then within that, then you have Vaikuntha, you have, you know, Dwarka, you have, you know, how you say, Mathura, you have Vrindavan. But I'm saying, so all this can be understood in all those right? But there's a main principle that's being given here, right? That all, you know, all kinds of yoga practices lie in bhakti yoga. In other words, there's only yoga practice. Whether people know it's yoga practice or not, that's another thing, you know? Because in yoga practice, it's what works with it and what doesn't work with it. You make a lifestyle out of what is not recommended by yoga practice, then that's not, you know, that'll be not so good. But it's still, there is only yoga. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Sorry, Maharaj, I just had a mind blank in regards to the difference between Dhyana Yoga and Raja Yoga.
Dhyana Yoga and Raja Yoga. Dhyana Yoga, see, here specifically Dhyana Yoga, we're taking that, what was it? Yoga Rudha, right? Which was the top one? Yoga Rudha or Yoga Rudra? Huh?
Yeah, Yoga Rudha.
Yoga Rudha. We specifically mean Yoga Rudha. Drawing another blank. Okay, so in Astanga Yoga, the first six levels, that's Yoga Ruruksha, which means like that's your sadhana and everything. You're trying to get to that platform. So the prominent element there is karma, right? And so because very few ever get to that, but our Yoga Rudha, then generally speaking, yoga gets classified within karma. So if you say karma and jnana, it also includes yoga. Right? Because most of them do it also, even if they get to that stage of these higher stages, yoga, rudha, then there's still mystic powers as their platform, or merging into the Lord. So all these are mundane concepts. So they're doing it for a result, a fruit of result. But the emphasis is, you know, there, then on that side we probably put him in the karma, jnanis, right? But yoga rudha means where it's jnana and samadhi, you know, but we don't mean, you know, 10 minutes in the morning, you know, or, you know, things like that. We're talking about they're fixed there. They're permanently there. You know, the guy that you see there with the, you know, the curling back nails and, you know, it looks that his hair is, you know, drapes him across the ground. The creepers are growing over him. We're talking about that guy, right? If he's not doing that, he's not on yoga arudha, right? So therefore, if you're impressed by certain yogis, you know, in more contemporary times that haven't actually got there, they get flashes of it and all that, so you can imagine how great is a yogi who actually gets there, right? So, and they have to go through so much difficulty for that. So when we talk about karma, we mean the element of activity that will generate a result. We don't mean that it's fruitive and you're doing it for yourself. That part's the part. So the activity that gets a result, that's the good part. That doing it for yourself, that's the part that's dropped. That's the material conception. Right? Then knowledge of the living entity of God, the material phenomena, and how you don't belong here, that part is great. The part where you merge into Brahman, or this whole place is an illusion, you know, meaning it doesn't even exist at all, not in this illusion or perspective of it, then that part's dropped, right? So the proper, not so when you have proper knowledge with proper activity, then that's your proper, you know, karma yoga. Then you add into it absorption in the Supreme, not all the, you know, pretzel stuff. Right? Like that. Then that becomes bhuti yoga. Because whatever is done in the first six is already included. You already have yama, niyama, asana, you know, pranayama, you know, pratyahara and dharana. Those are already there within the devotional process. Does that make sense? So the common point that we will discuss will be the jnana and samadhi. So the same levels smriti, anusmriti, and all these up to samadhi, then those are the same. Does that make sense? So, however, Raja Yoga is classified, you know, because in other words, there's eight levels of yoga. You count all eight. That's what we generally mean by yoga. So when we say yoga, we mean the whole Astanga Yoga system. If they only take part of it, then they're called by that name. So generally, yama, niyama should be accepted by all of them. But if they just do the asanas, then you call them a hatha yogi. you know, like that. And if they do focus on pranayama, I think then you call it, I think then it's a Raja Yogi. But like that, you get these different. So they all got their little names and where they focus. Okay. Does that make sense? Yes, so for us it's one path, it's just where they, you know. Is that okay? All other yogas are progressions towards the destination of bhakti yoga. In other words, the body, mind, and words being engaged, that's a progression that one is fully absorbed in Krishna in devotion. Right? You know, does that make sense? Yeah. It is by great fortune that one comes to Krishna consciousness on the path of bhakti yoga to become well situated according to the Vedic direction. The ideal yogi concentrates his attention on Krishna, who is called Shyamasundara, who is beautifully decorated as a cloud, whose lotus-like face is as effulgent as the sun, whose dress is brilliant with jewels, and whose body is flower-garlanded. Illuminating all sides is his gorgeous luster, which is called the Brahmajyoti. Right? So for us, it's just a nice luster. Right? You know, it makes everything very nice, you know, like that. So he incarnates in different forms as Rama, Nrisimha, Varaha, and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he descends like a human being as the son of Mother Yashoda. And he is known as Krishna, Govinda, and Vasudeva. He is the perfect child, husband, friend, and master. And he is full with all opulences and transcendental qualities. If one remains fully conscious of these features of the Lord, he is called the highest yogi. So he remains fully conscious of these. Then he's the highest yogi, right? Means, but if one is trying to be fully conscious of these, then he is situated on the path of the highest yoga, right? But he hasn't attained, he is that highest yogi, right? Does that make sense? But it doesn't mean that the path isn't the highest. So we see here is that all those elements is that he's seeing everything in connection with that person. So his activities are for that first person. His knowledge is being used to please that person. His meditation is on that person. Right? So that is the highest of all. Because he says he's intimately united with me. The others he's united with Brahman or Paramatma. So they're yogis, but they're not the highest yogi. Highest yogi is connected with Bhagavan. Lesson 36. So now we're going into. Okay. So then here. 36. Why is it I always missing something? Oh, it's been stapled backwards. That's why I keep getting confused. I've been trying to figure out why there's a page missing. Okay. It's not there. It's just been stapled, you know, backwards, so it comes the other way. Okay, so here that Udarharana, we're getting into now examples. Then the author of the text here is put in a vritti. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to 3.7, for self-realization, one can live a controlled life, as prescribed in the Shastras, and continue carrying out his business without attachment, and in that state make progress. A sincere person who follows this method is far better situated than the false pretender who adopts show bottle spiritualism to cheat the innocent public. Right? In other words, better someone who's a grihastha doing all his duties, right, and trying to sincerely connect it all to Krishna than the person who gives it all up just to make a show. Like that. A sincere sweeper in the street is far better than the charlatan meditator who meditates only for the sake of making a living. Right. He's meditating only to make a living. The other one's making a living so that he can meditate. Right? That's the difference. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to 1848. This example of fire and smoke is very appropriate in this connection. When in winter time one takes a stone from the fire, sometimes smoke disturbs his eyes and other parts of his body. But still one must make use of the fire despite disturbing conditions. That's where now. Ah. Similarly, one should not give up the natural occupation because there are some disturbing elements. Rather, one should be determined to serve the Supreme Lord by his occupational duty in Krishna consciousness. That is the perfectional point. Right, this is all in the Adhikarana paper. When a particular occupation, that is the perfectional point. When a particular type of occupation is performed for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, all the defects in that particular occupation are purified. When the results of work are purified, when connected with devotional service, one becomes perfect in seeing the self within, and that is self-realization. So whatever the duties are, that is connected to the Lord. Then that comes to, that is your self-realization you're trying to get to. So it's saying, it's supporting this point that the acharyas are making, that anyone can become, come to the perfectional platform by engaging their natural activities in the Lord's service. Okay, so...
When we were reading the first purport of Srila Prabhupada about the pretender, you know, it's also I think it's quite applicable to us not to develop mentality to be a pretender, more advanced than we are really are.
Yes, means it's just like, let's say, in other words, that one may have material attachments. And one understands and one is convinced about Krishna consciousness. This is a confusing point. You can have both at once. But the point is as one advances more, then the Krishna conscious viewpoint is more prominent than the attached one. It's just a matter. But it's not that someone is not fully absorbed or committed to their materialism. You know what I'm saying? We may not have that. You know, it's just kind of, we kind of do materialistic activities and we're attached, but we're not, we don't have that same commitment. But someone can have that commitment because they're committed also to the other activities. So generally, one will see the position where someone's very Krishna conscious, or there's an example where they're not so much. Does that make sense? So, but the point is where the point you're making comes in is not that these two are there. It's not that when they're here, they're dressed really nicely and they're always in devotional outfit and everything and they take part in all the program. But if they go to Calcutta, they dress up completely as karmis, go stay in a hotel, eat at all the restaurants, stay up all night watching movies, you know, and this and that. And they're not too worried about too much detail. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So that happens, right? The difficulty is that that happens is not the real problem, because as long as they're focused on the other... the Krishna consciousness, then slowly, the other one will go down. If it's not, there's some problem there. They're not focusing properly, they're making an offense like this. The difficulty comes is when they'll present themselves as only being the one, if the other one actually doesn't exist. That's where the problem comes in. Because then when you talk to them about something like that, then they get all, you know, how can you insult me like this and this and that? And this is not proper and you can't make criticize the book. That's where that part is coming in. Because there's where the pretending is. So it's not so much that they're pretending to be a good devotee. They're pretending that they're not also not a good devotee. You know what I'm saying? That's more of a weakness. Because it's very rare you have a devotee, someone pretend to be a good devotee. It means there's one here and there. You know, and it's, you know, generally in very broad, you know, continental zoning, you know, you'll find one who's, you know, obviously, you know, takes on that mood and somehow or another, you know, tricks the newer devotees. But it's very rare. You know, you have one here and there. There's hardly, you know. But the element of not admitting one's position of attachment. And there, but it doesn't mean that that drops one from the other practices. It just means one has to connect those and see that in connection to the Lord. But it's kind of like when I'm doing that, I don't worry about these things. You know, and then when I'm doing the other, I'm fully absorbed in Krishna. So I'm fully absorbed in one. Fully, no, you have to, if it's acknowledged, then you can start connecting. Because if you don't acknowledge it, if you don't acknowledge that you're sick, then you won't take medicine. You know what I'm saying? So they're sick and doing their work nicely. But the problem is that unless you acknowledge it, then it won't go. If it's something just with time and all that, then slowly, slowly it'll go. But if you want to hurry up the process, you acknowledge it and take the medicine. It doesn't mean the work stops. That's generally what we'll do. It's, because you have this, therefore you shouldn't be. No. You know, does he do that work nicely? Is it valuable? He arranged the whole thing for the festival and all that. Was it good arrangements? So that's good. So now, if his own personal lifestyle is not so great, but that's not the example. The example is how he engaged in that service. Right? Everyone was happy. It came out very nice. So now, what can you do to make this other thing match? Not that, because it's like that, he shouldn't arrange the festival. Does that make sense? Like that.
Let him arrange more festivals so he doesn't
have time. Yeah, he has more arrange more festivals. He has no time, doesn't he? That was such a great Janmashtami festival. We figured every weekend we'd have a festival. And then he says, but then what about Janmashtami? That'll be even bigger. Like that.
Get a stadium.
Yeah, get a stadium like that. For this year. Right? Next year we'll hire the city. Okay, does that make sense? So the principle applies, you know, like that. But here this one is taking the principle of applying it into the occupation. That you've given up your natural occupation that you have attachment for. And you are applying that into your occupation as I'm a great devotee. So you're maintaining yourself by being a great devotee. Rather than you're a devotee and maintaining yourself. And then when you naturally come to that position where you're not performing an occupation other than the devotional activities, you know, the direct devotional activities, then you're being maintained, but that's not your interest. Like that. So that point remains. But taking the point of show bottle is then it's because we tend to say that show bottle is that he's such a nice devotee on one side, but on this other side he's not. So the tendency is to say show bottle. And it's only called show bottle not because the service isn't great. It's show bottle because you want to acknowledge the other side. If he acknowledges the other side, then it can work. You know what I'm saying? But acknowledge doesn't mean that the service doesn't continue. Right? It just means that now you add that understanding and process that will engage that part. Does that make sense?
To see things as they are.
To see things as they are, yes. But that doesn't mean we're pessimistic. Oh, because it's like that, then it's all finished. It's all. No, that's still materialistic. Oh, he's got these bad qualities, so he's not a devotee. That's all materialistic. Because we saw before, if the main focus is that Krishna consciousness is the real thing, but he's overwhelmed by all these secondary things, but he's still as sadhu because he's rightly situated. Right? So the person's a sadhu. But the point is if he wants to advance more dynamically, he has to acknowledge what he's doing is not so great. Right? You know what I'm saying? And it's not that it can't be done. It's just the forum has to be the discussion of their personal development. And so these things are weaknesses. They'll get in the way of their nice devotional activities. Then you'll see they don't have any problem discussing it. You know what I'm saying? Because they know better than anybody. But if it's a matter of prestige or their position, the social status, then it'll be a problem. So again, here it comes back to the social position. So again, you could take that and connect it with here being social position. So in other words, they're getting some social element from their devotional service, right? And wanting you to, not notice what social elements are not doing. Is that okay? So, yeah. Okay, now we're on 36. Lesson 36. So this will be udahana, upanaya. Further explanation. The result of work is to satisfy material needs. The result of knowledge is to attain salvation. And the result of mysticism is to see the all-pervading Godhead in his localized aspect. All these can be attained indirectly by transcendental loving service, right? That's what we call these other elements indirect, because the direct activities of devotion, that we would define as the devotional service. The others you can see indirectly because you've connected them to the direct. Does that make sense? Okay. So, 1856. Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee, under my protection, reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. To be free from material contamination, a pure devotee acts under the direction of the Supreme Lord or his representative, the spiritual master. You can't get rid of material activities, meaning activities within the material environment. But it doesn't mean that one has to be illusioned, you know, and be in material consciousness. But you can't get rid of activity. There is no time limitation for a pure devotee. He is always 24 hours a day, 100% engaged in activities under the direction of the Supreme Lord. To a devotee who is thus engaged in Krishna consciousness, the Lord is very, very kind. In spite of all difficulties, he is eventually placed in the transcendental abode, or Krishna loka. Right? He says there's going to be difficulties. Material world means difficulties. Right? It's not that I'm a devotee so there'll be no difficulties. No, the material world stays the material world. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like the dog, you don't know the dog, right? So it still has fleas and it slobbers and it barks, right? Now you know the dog. So it still has fleas, slobbers, and barks. The difference is it doesn't bite your leg off. That's the difference, but it's still going to remain the same. Is that what it says? So the material energy is still going to give problems. But the point is whether it's a nice situation or not a nice situation, we're Krishna conscious. Does that make sense? Yes.
So about 100% 24 hours, what about sleep in time?
Why do you sleep? You just like sleeping? You understand? It's because if you don't sleep, then your brain doesn't work. You know, when you come to the liberated platform, you don't need to sleep. But until then intelligence functions because of sleep. Right? No sleep, no intelligence. Right? So therefore, it's required. But that you're doing that is because it's Krishna conscious. So therefore, you plan your sleeping properly. So the sleep doesn't get, you know, in other words, if it comes between, you know, chanting, reading, those kind of things, and sleep, then the chanting and reading, those direct activities take prominence. But if it comes between sleep, you know, taking rest on time or, you know, some hobby, you know, then the sleep is prominent. Does that make sense?
Can you sleep your way back to Godhead?
As long as all you do is dream about Krishna, yes, that you could, yes, like that. But normally, see, if you don't eat, you don't sleep very good. So you'd want to combine that with eating your way back to Godhead. So then the appropriate question would be, can you eat and sleep your way back to Godhead?
Now we only need mating and defending.
I don't know if you could do that. Yeah. But you could eat your way back to Godhead. Just always take Krishna Prasad. You know? So always be meditating on Krishna Prasad. But you have to understand it's Krishna, not just, you know, that what it is itself means the preparation. But what's nice about it is Krishna, and everything like that is Krishna, and all the arrangement, all everything about it is Krishna. Then yeah, you probably could. And then so you have the proper intelligence to work out the menus and all that. Then you'd have to take some rest. So in other words, probably a 5-star Michelin chef could do that. Everybody else might not, you know. So, you know, like kurma, could do that. Jamuna, you know, these persons, they could use that process. Everybody else only thinks about, you know, doesn't really, because it's, yeah. In spite of all, to a devotee who is thus engaged in Krishna consciousness, the Lord is very, very kind. In spite of all difficulties, he is eventually placed in the transcendental abode, or Krishna Loka. He is guaranteed entrance there. There is no doubt about it. In that supreme abode, there is no change. Everything is eternal, imperishable, and full of knowledge. Okay, so he's very, very kind because one comes to that platform. Because otherwise, in the beginning, the difficulties are coming because you need to go through them because we have attachments that these difficulties remove. Right? And as we advance more, then these are still the same activities that everybody else has attachment for and therefore must be removed. You don't have to have them removed. They're already removed. But now you can set example. Because someone who's attached to it won't set as good as example as someone who's not. So in any case, there's always going to be difficulties. It's just the way the material world is. You know what I'm saying? It's the way it's designed. Does that make sense?
No, man.
That's
me. No. It says Krishna Loka.
Krishna Loka.
Yeah, so to go to Krishna Loka, is that important? We should be familiar with the environment of those Krishna Loka. Means,
should we familiarize ourselves with the environment of Krishna Loka?
Having the cow, serving the cow, and the natural environment.
So that when you get there, then you won't look like such an idiot and take care of the cows. From that angle, no. But you should familiarize yourself with Krishna Loka by reading Krishna book. You know what I'm saying? That's how you familiarize yourself. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, the other books that establish what's the mood that is there in Krishna Loka. So that way you... But it's not that you have to become expert at cows here, therefore you become expert there, you know, like that. No. That is whatever your conditioning is that you engage. So if you have a nature to take care of cows, then you should do that. You know, if you have facility. If you don't, then you do business. Okay. 1857. In all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. The Sanskrit word matpara is very important in this verse. It indicates that one has no goal in life save and except acting in Krishna consciousness, just to satisfy Krishna. And while working in that way, one should think of Krishna only. Quote, I have been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna, end quote. In other words, you have that nature, and so that opportunity has come to engage that nature. So then that means, because Krishna has given the duties, given the natures, given the duties of that natures, and now an opportunity to use it in Krishna's service. So Krishna has given the duties. So now I'm doing this for Krishna. And also here is that one understands the goal of Krishna consciousness and one is absorbed in Krishna. Right? So one is the sambandha and the other is the actual application. Does that make sense? Because you know Krishna is the goal, but then you then absorb yourself in Krishna. Right? So in other words, sambandha, abhideya, prayojana are one aspect, but it has three different parts. You know. So it's not that if you're doing the one, you know Krishna is the goal, but you're not thinking of Krishna, that is complete. No, it's the first step is there, but it becomes complete when you absorb yourself in Krishna. Yes.
Whereas the beginning devotee, they need practical service, you know, because they can engage the body like that. So then it's because they're so.
So when they're more advanced, and they get into impractical service.
So there are two like ignorant and one is
two meaning is one two or there are two ignorant two meaning twos means the twos are in O's or the twos are in one and two. So that means before was one and this is and they are two ignorant.
So they have a greater quantity of ignorance?
Who?
The beginning devotees.
Does the beginning devotee have a greater volume of or quantity of ignorance?
A thick layer.
I say. So it means you're comparing that as in they don't have solace, they have ignorance. Right? You're worrying about the quantum of volume there.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Yes? So in the beginning, it's a quantum of ignorance, and as they advance, then it's a quantum of solace. Is that what you mean? You didn't answer the question.
I tried to evade. So I don't forget my question.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's a point. It's a good point. Good point.
So then they can't use the higher level as then to be absorbed in the thought of Krishna.
Yeah, it's the process doesn't change. All it is as one gets purified and one is more and more appreciative of Krishna as a person. It's not that the beginning devotee doesn't accept that Krishna is a person, right? But it's not that in all things they're thinking of Krishna as a person. Because as a person means then what his opinion is, what his feelings are, and how he's interacting, he's giving all the facility.
And what is it that enables the more advanced devotee to be able to
generally speaking, it's just if we're talking of sadhaka, it means that they've just applied the process, you know, continuously, or at least you know in some way there's a continuity of that service, and so one becomes purified. So one's knowledge and detachment are greater from the material, and by association with the devotees, one catches that mood. Right? Now here, Prabhupada's again and again saying these things. Right. So we read, and then within the context of that one chapter, you know, then Prabhupada is giving the points, you know, and then it progresses through till then in the 18th chapter, then you're getting this. But we see also is then you could take all these other elements and then take what's the main point and then connect them there also. Does that make sense? So it just naturally comes with time. That one has no goal in life save and accept. It's a phrase. Save and accept means only or exclusively, like that. I don't know that, you know how, you know at which point in the, you know, the middle or old English the save, you know, got, you know, used in that way. But it just means that when you say save and accept means there's nothing else, you know. Or you could say, you know, save meaning you keep only that one, you know. So how it got in, because there's all kinds of, especially British English, they're really good at putting things together. You have no idea, you know, like how it, you know, like that. Because it's standard words, but used in this more sophisticated context. Or the American... You take, you know, a not necessarily standard word and use it in kind of a weird way. And then, so this really is a difference. So, you know. Like that. Acting in such a way, one naturally has to think of Krishna. This is perfect Krishna consciousness, right? If I'm doing this to please Krishna because Krishna has given this duty, therefore then it's natural to act thinking of Krishna. Right? This is perfect Krishna consciousness. One should, however, note that after doing something whimsically, he should not offer the result to the Supreme Lord. You just make it up and offer the Supreme Lord. So it's the result of the activity can't be. But we can see through the Brahman, you can understand that. So in other words, you say, well, but you can connect everything. Yes, the connection is that was whimsical, but what I'm looking for in that is Krishna. But I think it's this thing that I'm involved in, that's what's giving me. It's not that I can offer something that I've done that has no meaning to Krishna. Does that make sense? Something that's proper, I can offer that. The other one, you can see Krishna in it, but you can't offer it. Right, does that make sense?
What if you fight with your junior because you may not feel qualified?
You fight with your junior because you do not feel qualified. It means you fight with your junior because you're not quite qualified to fight yet with equals and superiors or something. So it's just a matter of practice and so on.
Someone smaller than yourself.
If Krishna's given you some duty, but you don't need fighting Krishna because you don't accept that duty.
There it's a matter of, it means ultimately just that we're here, we've turned our face, you know, away from Krishna. But that we're fighting with him personally, that's another thing, unless you are making it clear like that, you know. Does that make sense? You know. Yeah. So unless you're standing there and say, okay, God, bring it on, you know, like that, then there's a good chance that you're just, you know, due to conditioning, not necessarily acting in the, you know, best possible way. Is that something?
You know, sometimes I remember something happens in someone's life, but then they blame Krishna, you know, thinking, why did this happen?
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's there, but at least there's some direction of at least you see that one's dependent upon Krishna, that Krishna can do those things, right? Not that, you know, Krishna can't do them, you know, like that. But so that's better, you know, than the asuras who think that, you know, Krishna can't do anything. But it's still, the point is he's only responding to what you've done. You've done this, so therefore that's done. He is guaranteed entrance there. There is no doubt about it. In that supreme abode, there is no change. Everything is eternal, imperishable, and full of knowledge. Right? So it's guaranteed. You follow the process like that, keeping Krishna as the goal. And then, oh no, we're on the next one. Because it's the same, yeah, because it's the same line of points. Right? Okay. Okay. One should act according to the order of Krishna. This is a very important point. Right? So in other words, how Krishna directs, that's how you should act, not whimsically. Because whimsical, then how is that offerable? Because Krishna, you're supposed to offer it to him, but Krishna says how you're supposed to do things to offer to him. Because it's either you're going to do it out of love, you know the person, or, you know, he tells you, what you know, it's like you want something, you know, for your birthday. So the people who have affection, they figure it out and they give you what you want. Or whatever they work out, you know, it is in line with your nature. You'll like it, even if you hadn't thought about that. But if it's someone else, they don't know you, then it's better you tell them what you want, you know. Does that make sense? Otherwise, you end up with a whole closet full of stuff that you don't know what to do with, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah. That sort of dude, it means, yeah, it means whimsically offering something. One should not whimsically, One should, however, note that after doing something whimsically, he should not offer the result to the Supreme Lord. That sort of duty is not in the devotional service of Krishna consciousness. It's not in the duty. It means what you're supposed to do is what is offered, not what you just whimsically. It's not your duty, and you just came up with it. What if you do your duty whimsically? It means the offering won't be as good as if you do your duty consistently. You know, but it is your duty. But here it means it's whimsical, means it's not your duty. You know, so that's why Krishna before says better to do your own duty, though not nice, because at least there's something to offer. Then do it very nicely, but it's whimsical, so therefore it's not offerable.
Can you define your duties?
Means, are you asking if an individual would be able to define their own duties, or are you asking me to define your duties?
Either way.
Okay, we'll stick with the first one, since the option is there. In other words, one sees what is one's situation. And then what are the duties prescribed? Like that. And then one knows that's what one does. Right? Because it's there. Depending on what varna one's in, what ashram it's in, then it's defined. You know? And just one sticks to that. And then Prabhupada explains things in the purports. Does that work?
Well, what if Krishna gives you too many duties?
He gives you too many duties. But generally speaking, duties go along with what is your interest or desire. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, in other words, one can't complain that one has, houses all over the city and you have to maintain them all and all that. Krishna's given me too many duties. But we wanted them, so we have them. We bought them, so then... You know, and so if we're taking it that we're a landlord, then that's the duty that goes along with. So maintaining all that is the duty. So it's not too much. You want it to be that level of landlord, so then you do that. If you want less profit, then you keep less. You know, you want that much profit, then you have to do that work. If you're willing to live with less profit, but if you want the same amount, then you have to do it. You know, it goes like that with anything. You know, you want to eat a feast, you know, you have to work. You say, oh, Krishna's given me too many duties. You know, I have to cook 10 preparations. You want to eat 10 preparations. You know what I'm saying? So you have to discern what it is you want to do, and then when the natural difficulties that come up in doing anything then arise, because there's so many things you want to do, it all happens at once. You know, said, okay, I can work it out. I got 10 things to do, but, you know, the problems should happen one at a time. You know, but when they start happening, you know, in multiple, you know, group, or, you know, there's always going to be the day that all 10 go wrong. You know, so you can't complain, oh, Krishna's giving me too many duties. Does that make sense? Is that okay? Yes.
Striving for consistency, and the consistency is not ever, it usually basically means that it's not the duty.
No. Because it may be this is your duty, but you're not. Like the man starts up a business and it fails, right? And then he starts another business, it fails. So it's like that. So after 4 or 5, then it works. So if it's his nature, it means he has a value in economics, so therefore then that's the place to apply it. What we're talking about is, you know, one day he goes to the office, you know, and does all the work and contacts everybody, and then one day he doesn't, and then he comes the next day and then everything's a mess. So then he works with it, and then, you know, the next day he doesn't go, and so then it's a mess, and then he doesn't go the next day because he doesn't want to have to deal with the mess. But, you know, by the third day it's going to be too big of a mess, so he's more afraid of the bigger mess than the smaller mess that he goes. That's inconsistent.
So the right way of going about it,
seek the laws, but understand that the laws have come from God. Because when we talk about just following these laws and that's how you get the best result, that's only for the purpose of understanding that God's involved. rather than just how to become materially successful. You know what I'm saying? That's the... Yes.
Well, in Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to know which varna we belong.
Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to know which varna we belong. Okay. But now, is it not so difficult to figure out the varna? I mean, the ashram. Right? So, technically, it should be about as easy to work out the varna. Right? But it appears much of the time what gets mixed first is the varna. Because you also have ashram shankar. But, you know, varna shankar is where the major problem comes. But it's just a matter, is it in knowledge? Is it in influence, economics, or an expression? Is where the, you know, your primary value is in endeavor. Right? What do you consider profit? More knowledge or more money? Or more influence or more expression? Where's your profit? So wherever your profit is, that's your area. Does that make sense? And then if it's a matter of, well, there's two of them, then you just have to figure out, then look at it from, okay, I take business, but I want influence. So, but do I want influence because I get more money? Or influence is more important. If it is, then I give influence and see that I arrange money. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, you combine it, but you have to just figure out which is primary and which is secondary. You know what I'm saying? So it might be, you know, you do business in, let's say, construction, and you specialize in building government offices. Right, so there's a connection with the governmental things, but you're doing it with a business. You know what I'm saying? You know, so it's a matter of finding what is what's the connection, or let's say, or a more direct one. You run a business, but you run a security business. You know, but you're doing security for business. But someone else, security is important for them, and since that's there, people need it, they can make some money off of it. But the importance is the security. Right? Does that make sense? So since security is the point of security, therefore pick the guy that is a kshatriya doing business rather than the vaishya who's doing using security as his medium of economics. Does that make sense?
Prescribed duty in our
ISKCON society. Prescribed duty within ISKCON society. It means your sadhana is established, right? But then varna, that depends how you situate yourself.
Right? Yes. You gave once example about a surgeon.
About a surgeon.
A surgeon that's a brahminical or operating this machine, they are part of Shubha. They both involve in certain knowledge which is similar and skills. Or why is the need on the others?
Depends where it is, because see, your surgery, it's based on the science of medicine. Like that? But running a machine, that's based on mechanics. You know what I'm saying? So it's the point of it's the expression of the knowledge, or the other is you need knowledge to express. You understand? It's the same thing. It just reverses. You know, like we were saying, the vaishya takes tax to you know, and that's his profit. While the kshatriya takes tax to protect the people. Right? So the vaishya, the landlord may protect his, you know, who is in his area, but only because he gets tax. Well, the kshatriya will protect, but he needs tax to do that. So you just have to see which is the prominent of the mentality. You know what I'm saying? Is the person makes musical instruments, You know, his art is making musical instruments, and he sells those, and that way maintains himself. Or he wants to do business, and he sees an opportunity in musical instruments, and so he makes a business making musical instruments. In a sense, there's a difference. One should act according to the order of Krishna. This is a very important point. That order of Krishna comes through disciplic succession from the bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, the spiritual master's order should be taken as the prime duty of life. Right? Because you always have to know what's the main and what's secondary. So the prime duty is the order. The secondary will be addressing one's conditioned needs. If one gets a bona fide spiritual master and acts according to his direction, then one's perfection and of life in Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. So this is where Prabhupada said, it's automatic. You do this, it's automatic. Right? So it doesn't mean automatic means it comes without endeavor. Many times people like to try to find fault in this presentation of Prabhupada when he says that it's automatic. You know, because they're thinking automatic means it works on its own. You don't have to do anything. But what they're not catching is, yeah, means you go out, you make money, you go, you know, you look through all the different brochures and you pick out the washing machine that you does what you want it to do. You have it installed in your house, right? You go out and buy the soap. You put the soap and the clothes in the machine. It's connected to the water mains that you also are paying for. Then when you push the button, the washing of the clothes is automatic. You understand? You don't have to worry that I've started this project, it won't get the results. So the point is you follow the direction of the spiritual master, it's automatic, you will perfect your life in Krishna consciousness. It's not that I'll do nothing and perfect my life. Because someone will say, no, you have to work to get it to do. No, you're following the order. That's the work. Is that something? Yeah? If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such a consciousness but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. Right? So here's false act through. If you do what he says and conscious of Krishna, then everything, all obstacles will be passed over. Right? Doesn't mean there's not an obstacle, but you'll get over it. Right? So then by Krishna's grace, but if you not listening to this, you act out of false ego, no, I have a better idea, then you'll be lost. It's not that you're trying to act in that way, but the ego comes up and you'll become distracted. You won't be lost. You'll be slowed down, but you won't be lost. But if you think, here Krishna said this, and no, I have another way to do this, then you'll be lost. Right? So in other words, through false ego not hearing me. Not you're acting and then your false ego is there. That'll definitely slow things down. But a person in full Krishna consciousness is not unduly anxious about executing the duties of his existence. Right? Unduly anxious. He does what he can and whatever comes and that's as good as it gets. The foolish cannot understand this great freedom from all anxiety. Because they think, no, you have to be anxious about it. No, you desire, you make the endeavor, but there's no need to be anxiety. Because you can't, means the anxiety is you think you can do something about it, and I'm not able to do it. I'm not in control. No, I'm not in control. So Krishna will take care of it. I'm doing my part, doing my duties, and the result is Krishna's anyway. Whether I give the result to Krishna or not, the result still depends upon God. Right? It's just the way it works. Paramatma sanctions, you get it. He doesn't sanction, you don't get it. Right? For one who acts in Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna becomes the most intimate friend. He always looks after his friend's comfort, and he gives himself to his friend, who is so devotedly engaged, working 24 hours a day to please the Lord. Therefore, no one should be carried away by the false ego or the bodily concept of life. So it's not because due to my body, my mind, my intelligence, all get things done. No, that I'll do my duties using those to the best of my ability, you know, according to the direction of Krishna, to please Krishna. Right? But it's not that because of that, that's how I'm going to become Krishna conscious. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.